Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Sunday morning Hilchos Evan HaEzer Shulchan Aruch Shir. We are now in Siman Dalid Sif Tes Zayin, and we are going to be speaking about Mamzerus. We have a very well-known case where you have a, which we'll see inside in a moment, but let me speak it out first. The case is that you have a woman who's married, and her husband goes on a business trip, and as he's going on the business trip, he goes and he doesn't come back for a long time, and she gets back word that her husband is eaten up by a lion in the on this African business trip, and he's no longer here. So therefore, she goes ahead and gets married to another guy, and a few months later, after they're married, and maybe after they have a kid, guess who knocks on the door? It's her first husband. So now she's in trouble because she violated Eishes Ish. Her husband was still married. She never got a get from him. She assumed he was dead. And now she's marrying another man. So that is Eishes Ish. And furthermore, the child that she bore from this new husband is going to be a mamzer. So that's the least of her issues. Not the least of her issues. That's definitely going to be and those are Yisurim Daraisa. But the Mishnah comes and says that Chachamim, not only did they leave it as that severe consequence that she will have violated Eishes Ish and have a kid who's a mamzer, but the Chachamim placed on her a number of other consequences. We'll see why in a minute. Says the Mishnah, you can look on the screen, Mishnah in Yevamos, Daf Pei Zayin. One second, I'll just adjust that screen. Says the Mishnah in Yevamos, Ha'isha shehalach b'ayla l'medinas hayam. Ubav Amrula, Meis Bailech. Your husband died. So what did she do? So she got remarried. She got a heter, aguna, and she got remarried. Vachakach ba baila. We have to make sure we realize that these shilas were real shilas. Yossi Beagleisen is on our shir right now. And yesterday was, I think, the 20th yard site for his brother, Olav Hashalom, who unfortunately was killed in the World Trade Center. And actually, there's an article about, yes, I don't know if you saw the article about your brother in Yeshiva, I think it was Yeshiva World News, a day or two ago, which I read. It was a very, very painful and powerful article. Very, very, very painful. But that was a shaila, you know, that your sister-in-law, wasn't aguna for a, they did it rather quickly. I think it was a week, the article said a week until they got a heter. The day after Rosh Hashanah, so that was just about a week after 9/11, she got a heter agunas, and the article said that when she was sitting shiva, another wife of somebody who had not yet got that woman's situation was not as clear, had not yet had her heter, and she was still an aguna because of her husband missing since the Twin Towers. So this shiloh would be real. So Lu Yitzuyu, again, coming back to our discussion. You know, imagine if that would have taken many, a person would not have had got a heter, a woman would not have had a heter agunas, and her husband was missing, and she would go get remarried, assuming he had passed. And then lo and behold, the husband would walk in, and she's found that she indeed is violating Eishes Ish. So says the Mishnah at the end of the first line. So she gets remarried, and then all of a sudden, Achaka, Babaila, her husband knocks on the door and says, "Honey, I'm home." So we have a rule, and a number of these will be Daraisa, some of them will be Darabanan, we'll see which is which. So says the Mishnah, Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh. She could not be with her first husband because she committed adultery, and she cannot be with her second husband because he's the one with whom she committed adultery. Utzricha Get Mizeh Mizeh. Now obviously that's not Daraisa, she's only married to the first one, because if you're married to one man, you can't be married to another man. So the first get is going to be Daraisa from her real husband, and it's a knas. We make her leave her husband, and I mean, Midaraisa, she's not allowed to live with her husband, but and we also make her leave this other man. She has to get a get from both of them. Vein l'ksuv, and she loses out on both. You might think, oh, two divorces, she could cash in on both, make a lot of money. No, she loses everything. Ein l'ksuva, she doesn't get a ksuva from either of them, v'lo peros, v'lo mezonos, v'lo blows, lo al zev, lo al zev. She gets no financial compensation that she theoretically should have been the case. In a normal dissolution or death of a dusalish of marriage or death, where she would normally, yes, be able to collect certain monies from her for her ksuva, and here she will lose everything. And we'll see why. Chacham took it away from her. Vim not if she collected any money, she has to return the money. Vahavlad, this is going to be the important point for us. Vahavlad mamzer mizeh umizeh. Let's think about this. What does it mean? That if she has a kid from either one of these men now, the kid will be a mamzer. Well, Rashi explains. Im yalda misheni. If she, again, she's married to the first husband, and now she is, you know, took the second husband, so anyone who, any child she has from the second husband is, of course, is a mamzer, because she's married to A, and she's having a baby with B. So, of course, he's a mamzer. But Rashi adds, but there's also going to be a dinder abanan as follows. Let's say she gets back together with her first husband. Her first husband, her true love, is home. So she moves back in with him. And she has a baby with her first husband, her real husband. But wait a second. Im shuv hechzira rishon v'yaldelo, hevi mamzer didiv v'mi divreihem. Chachamim made that kid a mamzer. What do you mean? But it's her real husband. Why should he be a mamzer? So we'll see that means that she shouldn't live. She has to leave both. That doesn't mean that the kid should be a mamzer, though. So if you're going to jump ahead to one line of the Beis Shmuel, who explains the reason for the severity of these halachas, why Chachamim put such a big, severe consequences on this woman, it's very simple. Hatam hu mishum knas, all of these severe consequences that Chacham put on her, they're all a knas. What's the knas? To konsua chazal le'isha ki hecha de daika shapir. We want her to be, if you are convinced that your husband died and you want to go remarried, we want you to be so certain and so sure that it really is the case that we're going to make the stakes incredibly high. That if you are going to, you know, look, you have a woman whose husband's been missing for a few weeks, you know, she's antsy, she, you know, there's a rich guy passing through town, she has a quick opportunity to marry, we want to make sure that she's only going to pursue marriage with another husband when she's so absolutely dead certain, she's certain that he's dead, because otherwise she knows she's going to be locked out of her first husband, locked out of this second husband. She's going to lose money from the first husband, lose money from the second husband. Any kid who she has for the first husband will be a mamzer. Any kids that she has for the second husband, of course, will be a mamzer d'oraisa. But even the kids, she'll be messed up for life. What will that cause her to do? Says the Beis Shmuel, quoting the Gemara, "Hatamu mishum knas katzur chazal leisha ki hecha dedaika shapir." So she should be exceedingly cautious to ascertain the truth of what indeed happened. That indeed, her husband was indeed killed in Africa. He indeed was eaten by a lion on that safari that she heard about. And until she is certainly sure that that's the case, she would be very reticent to pursue another relationship with another man because she knows how high the stakes are. Let's say you're saying, what happens if there are two Edim who testified in Beis Din and she has every right to rely on them? Will she also have these severe consequences? I don't remember. Maybe one of you remember what the Gemara there in Yuvam Mishot says. The Lash of the Mishnah that we have here is Ubov Amrullah, that people came to her. It's certainly it's Barash and Rabim. But I don't know if that's as a full Edah, so they heard. I don't know exactly. Unsure. But if anybody remembers, what? Yeah, I'm unsure. I don't know. Again, if you're holding the sugya and you vomit and you remember, please speak up. If you remember, if this is these consequences, do these consequences even apply when she had a heter based in or when two Edom testified that the husband was eaten up by a lion? I just don't recall. Okay. We're now going to be focusing, not on all the other points of the Mishnah, but on that last phrase that I underlined. So, again, she's a married woman. She thought her husband died, so she married a second man. Okay. So any child she has from the second husband, while she's married, really married to the first husband, is clearly adultery, and clearly the baby's going to be a mamzer from that second husband. D'oraisa. There's nothing to discuss. The chiddush that the Mishnah is teaching us is that in the Chachamim's attempt to disincentivize or to to prevent a woman jumping to conclusions, the Chachamim said that we're even going to make the kid a mamzer from her first original husband. Let's just clarify the case. She gets married, has a beautiful family. Husband goes to Africa, gets apparently eaten up by a lion. She marries husband number two. Her husband, the original husband, comes home. Her true love, her first love, her high school sweetheart, knocks on the door. Honey, I'm home. Sweetheart, I thought you were eaten up by a lion. No, I escaped the lion's mouth by an inch, and I ran away, and I was just able to hitch a ride back, and I'm really alive. So they come back together. It's her first husband. So here, Mida Raisa, it's her real husband. The kid isn't a mamzer. Chachamim made the kid from this real marriage, the first marriage, her high school sweetheart, into a mamzer Mida Rabbanon. Let's figure out the status of this mamzer Rabbanon. What is the status of a mamzer Rabbanon? How do we treat a mamzer Rabbanon? So the Beis Yosef quotes the Rambam, who says that mamzer shel devrayim mutu lisa mamzer shel devrayim. If you have one mamzer Rabbanon, could he marry a real mamzer? No. Because a real mamzer is also daraisa to marry a regular Jew. And on a daraisa level, a mamzer Rabbanon is a regular Jew. So if you have a mamzer, look at my hand, if you have a mamzer daraisa and a mamzer Rabbanon, they can't get married. Because this is a mamzer daraisa and there's only a mamzer Rabbanon. That means on the Torah level, the mamzer Rabbanon is a regular Jew. So a mamzer daraisa can't marry a regular Jew. Oh, but if you have a mamzer Rabbanon and a mamzer Rabbanon, so then the Rambam says they're allowed to get married to each other. Fine, that's good to know. Now, we're going to take this a step further. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. Okay, thank you. I didn't remember. Thank you for clarifying. You're saying, Mr. Bergman is saying that all of these consequences only when she relies on 1A, but if she would rely on 2A them to permit her to marry, then we wouldn't have all these consequences. Yeah. Okay, great. Thank you for clarifying that. We weren't sure which way. Thank you for clarifying that. Very good. Okay. Now we're going to talk about one very particular question. I want you to think about the case as it happened. She's married to her high school sweetheart. He goes to Africa. She hears he's eaten up by a lion. She goes and marries number two. Then her husband walks in. Her real husband walks in. So we said that if she gets back together again with her first husband, child, even from her husband, is going to be a mamzer drabanan. Can I ask you, what exactly transpired when that her real husband walked in, knocked on the door, and sees a strange man sitting at the head of his dining room table? What happens then? So she moves back in with the first husband, but what happened to the second guy? What if, for example, this woman is so happy to see her first husband, she gets rid of that second husband? Of course, right? She's moving back in with her high school sweetheart, her real husband, her first husband, who she really did love and unfortunately lost to the lion's teeth. So she divorced, not really divorced, because she wasn't really married to the second guy, Mida Raisa, because she had been married to her high school sweetheart, Mida Raisa, who's still alive. So she went ahead and at least the Rabbanan, she put on a play, and she divorced the second husband. And she had nothing to do with his second husband. So she did everything that she should have, right? She ridded herself of that second husband in any way, shape, or form that she could, should, and did. So now, if she comes back to her first husband, are we still, after she did everything that she should have done, will we still consider the baby of that first husband, if they get together again, also to be a mamzer drabanan? So let's see. Says the Beis Yosef, Mavur b'divrei HaRambam, Tahada havlad misheni mamzer, that which we consider... I said the story wrong. I said the story wrong. Okay. I'm going to start the story again. I apologize. After the husband comes back and says, honey, I'm home, she knows that she has to divorce both of them. So she leaves her first. She gets a get, even though her husband's home. Oops. I guess you were alive. Chachamim say I have to divorce you. And the new husband she had to divorce also. So she divorces both husbands, which is what the Mishnah said, right? The Mishnah says, that in the case where her husband, she thought that her husband, where is it? Teitzimizemizah. You see on the screen, Teitzimizemizah. She thought her husband was alive. He wasn't. Husband came home, so she has to divorce both of them. So she divorced both of them. Now, after she divorced both of them, let's say she really likes this new guy. And she spends the night with him, and she has a kid from the new husband. But she was already divorced from both of them now. So she's already divorced from her husband, her first husband. Is she an Eish Ish anymore? She's not an Eish Ish anymore. She had a divorce from both of them. If she's not an Eish Ish anymore, then if she now lives with this second husband after she divorced him, she's now going to live with him after her divorce from him, because she got to like him. The rabbi said she has to divorce him, so she did what the rabbi said. She divorced him, but she liked him. They got together again, and she had a kid from him. Are we going to consider that kid a mamzer if she's no longer married to either of them? So here the Rambam says, "Dahad havlad hashmisheni mamzer." That which we say that the vlad from the second was a mamzer, normally it was mamzer doraisa. Dafka kishabal la kodesh girsha hasheni. That's before she divorced from those from her husbands. Aval acha shegirsha hasheni lo gara mimachzer girsha so acha sheni seisun eskasha. What happens if a woman, you know, a stama woman, gets divorced from her husband, and for whatever reason she's not allowed to marry him again? Let's say she was with another man in between. She's not allowed to marry her husband again. And she has a child from her original husband after she got divorced from him, and she was with another man, and she was divorced from him. She goes back to her first husband. So Torah says you're not allowed to do that. Marry A, get divorced. Marry B, get divorced. No, go ahead and marry A again. You know, sort of like, I assume that, you know, the Torah doesn't allow that, because otherwise men will be, he'll try a wife, doesn't work out so well. So say, okay, you know what, let me try a different wife, and if I don't like her, I'll see who I like more. I'll pick and choose who I like better. He'll marry. Okay, serial polygamy. I'll try one wife, see how it works, and then I'll try another one on for size, and then I'll decide who I like more. If I like the first one, I'll go back to the first one. So Torah says, no, machzer gerushaso after you with another wife in between is going to be also daraisa. Let's say she does go back to her first husband after having been with another man in the interim. She liked the first guy. Hitaka was a better husband. So do we say that that baby will be a mamzer? Absolutely not. That's not a mamzer. The mother is in violation of Machzer Grushaso with her first husband. The first husband's in violation of being Machzer Grushaso, being Machzer his Grusha after he was with someone else. But that baby's not a mamzer. So therefore says the Rambam that if somebody, in our case, where we have a case where she got a get from both of them, as she was supposed to, if she subsequently, after that, goes ahead and gets back together with the second husband, okay, there's no Vlad Mamzer from that, no Vlad Mamzer Midrabbanan from that. She's not married to anybody. She didn't do anything wrong. I mean, she shouldn't, she's not allowed to be with this guy anymore. But if she did, the kid's not a Mamzer. That's the Shita Sarab. Now with that, we have the Mishnah, we have the Shita Sarab. Now let's see the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins, we're now up to Sif Tezayin Ha'isha. I always have the Shulchan Aruch in bold, so you see it in bold. Ha'isha Shalach Bailu Medina Sayam. Her husband goes to Africa. Venise, she gets married to a new husband, husband two. Vare Baila Kayam, and indeed, husband number one, her high school sweetheart, is still alive. So, all the things that we saw in the Mishnah are Paskin, Havlad Mehasheni Mamzer Gomer, of course. Umutir Ba Mamzer. It's the second, the child from the second husband is definitely Mamzer Doraisa. Vim Harishan Chazer Ba Aleha, Kodem Shigir Shahasheni. Let's say she's with the first husband. Kodem Shagirsha Hasheni, before she got rid of that second husband, so she comes back to her first husband, which is a real husband. Mamzer Drabanan. That's what the Mishnah said. Now, what's the status of a Mamzer Drabanan? Of course, Astur B'Mamzeris Gemura. But a Mamzer, Umutur B'Mamzeris Midrabanan Kayotzebo. Fine. That's what we see in the Shulchan Aruch, exactly as we saw in the Mishnah, as we explained in the Mishnah. Concludes the Shulchan Aruch. Avalm zinsa v'charkach ba baila aleha. Let's say she's married to husband one, and he's in Africa, and she hears that he, has been eaten up by a lion, or she just gets lonely. And in her loneliness, she, you know, goes out with a guy and has a child. But she doesn't marry him. So there, enavlan mamzer. One second, enavlan mazinsa v'cheko. I'm sorry. And then when her husband comes home, she didn't marry another man. She spent the night with another man wrongly. She did esh ish. And then her husband comes home. She doesn't, you know, her husband comes home. Honey, I'm home. Oh, wow, I missed you so much. So much that she was with another man in the interim, but not marriage. And her husband comes home. Honey, I'm home. Okay, she's with her husband again. The child from the husband will not be a mamzer. Because remember, the question, any child born from her real, her first husband, her high school sweetheart, would at most be a mamzer d'rabanan. And this knas of making the kid a mamzer d'rabanan is only when she went ahead and married a different man in the interim. Not if she just was mizana with a different man in the interim. Because this new baby is really from her first husband, who is her husband. Okay. Now, Daraisa, correct. If she's married to the first husband who's still alive and she had a baby from a second husband, that would be a mamzer daraisa, correct. And she had a baby from the guy who she was mezana with, that would also be a mamzer, yes. Okay. He's a mamzer d'rabanan. Oh, she was only mizana, and now she comes back. You're talking about a common case. You're talking about a common case where you have a couple, and the wife from Chas v'Shalom, I shouldn't say it's a common case, but meaning it's not a crazy case to describe. A couple's married, and the woman has an affair. And then she goes back to her first husband. So if she had a kid from that affair while she was married to her real husband. Oh, she had an affair and then she comes back to her husband and has a kid from her husband. You know, they continue to build their family as they had been building for the past few years. They continue to build their family after she had been with. So she wasn't supposed to be, right? Really, she's not supposed to be with her husband anymore. But I don't know of any. So what psul would apply to the kid? He's not a mamzer. Is the product of a bia asura, that's true. Is that going to be, maybe if it would be a kohen, that might be a halal, because she's a product of a bia asura, but I don't know if the kid would have any other status other than for a kahuna. Right. So. Right, but for not a kohen, then I don't know if there'd be any other nafkamina. Right. She'd be not able to marry a Kohen, correct. The child would be a Chalal. And the child would be, if the child is a girl, so the kid, I don't remember, I think we learned it a few weeks ago, the kid would be the kid of a Bia Asura. Does that daughter have a din? I don't know. You can't be halal if your parent is not a kohen. And the wife who had the bia asura becomes a halal if she's married to a kohen. I don't remember. I can't say. We probably had it a few weeks ago, but I know they were complicated cases. Okay. Let's see the Beis Shmuel on the Shulchan Aruch. Again, the case of the husband went to Africa. She heard that he died. She got remarried. Lachain. Look at the Beis Shmuel says. Kodesh Shigir Shasheni. Before she divorces the second husband, she was supposed to divorce the second husband. She didn't divorce the second husband. She gets back together with her first husband, the high school sweetheart. Since she still didn't get a divorce from her second husband, adayin ma'aseh kayamin, l'chein havlad, mamzeri mirishon. Even though she gets back with her first husband, who's really her real husband, midaraisa, we're still going to make him the kid of mamzer d'rabanan. Al achar girushi hasheni. But let's say this woman does what she's supposed to do. She divorces the second husband, who wasn't really her husband. Dibat la maaseha lo kansuosa. You see what the Beis Shmuel says? The Beis Shmuel says that let's say she the woman whose husband disappeared, she got remarried. Her husband comes home. Oh my gosh, my real husband came home. My high school sweetheart came home. I'm going to get rid of this new guy and move back in with my first husband. Since, says the Beis Shmuel, if I divorce that second husband, then we're not going to make, and she continues to have children from her first husband, her real husband, then we won't make a knas. Correct. We won't make a knas because bat lamasa, as he says. Aval, concludes the Beis Shmuel, im girish rishon v'yalda min hasheni, let's say she divorces the first husband. The first husband comes back, honey, I'm home. She says, sorry, buddy, I found a better husband than you. I'm going to divorce you. She gets a divorce from him. And she's now going to be, you know, staying with her second husband, who she's not supposed to have gotten divorced from. She's not supposed to be with. Avam girish rishon v'yalda min hasheni l'chul yaham havi mamzer. Midrabanan, da dain shaykh knas. She's not supposed to be with him. So therefore, there will be a knas. Okay. I'm not going to go into, there's another machlok, because it's a little complicated in the cases of who divorced who, when, at which time, and what the status is going to be midrabanan. I'm not going to go into that. We'll leave that for now. Okay. The next, if that's the end of that, if the next, if we're going to actually skip. It's a short sif, but it's talking about a chatzi eved ben chor, chatzi eved marrying a chatzi ben chorim. A chatzi eved, chatzi ben chor. We don't have so many chatzi eved and chatzi ben chorins, so we're going to skip it. If you happen to know a chatzi eved ben chorin, let me know, and I'm happy to learn the sugya with him. We're going to skip now to sif yud ches. Sif yud ches is going to be a very quick halacha. It's going to be talking about the very fact that what happens if a person marries a mamzer. This is going to be like the main, we should really start with this. What happens when you have a man marries a mamzeres? Or when you have a mamzer marries a Jewish girl? What happens to them? Well, we know what happens. The kids will be mamzerim forever. So let's see. That's based on a Mishnah, and then one line Mishnah, one line Shulchan Aruch. That'll be the whole thing. Tanan, the Mishnah in Kiddushin Samach Vav, which is a Mishnah that has four parts, which we're going to see more parts later. This is the most important Mishnah in the whole sugya, where it sets forth the parameters of how we determine the status of a child from any given union. So based on the nature of the permissibility of the union of the parents, that will determine the child. So the Mishnah says, at least one part of the fourth part of the Mishnah says, Kol Malko Sheyesh Kiddushin V'yesh Aveira. Kiddushin is Chal. I mean, it's not an Isser Kares, it's just an Isser Lav. So there is a Kiddushin between the two parents, but there was an Aveira in that union. Havlad Holech Achar HaPogum Shebishnehem. We had this Mishnah a long time ago. The child's status will be determined based on the worst of the two. It's a funny halacha. Veze, what's the case of you have a Kiddushin that is Chal, but there was an Aveira, and the kid will therefore be like the worst of the two. Amman Lekoin Gadol. Right? Amman Lekoin Gadol, Grusha V'Chalutz Lekoin Hedyot. The parent are not. It's only nisulah for the parents to be together, but the child will be a chalal. Mamzeres unesina li Yisrael. Oh, mamzer to Yisrael. That's there's no kares. The kiddusha will be chal or bas Yisrael lemamzer unasin. So forget nasin and nesina for now. But if you have a mamzer marries a regular Jewish girl or a mamzeres marries a regular Jewish boy, so that was an isudaraisa for the union. But the kiddushin was chal. A mamzer can marry her. If a mamzer, goes out with your daughter and marries her, they're married. But there was an iser. And therefore, the child of that marriage will be like the worst of the two. One of the parents is a mamzer, so the kid will be a mamzer. And that's how mamzeris happens. Meaning, a person becomes a mamzer. And then, anyone who they marry, their kid will have the status of the worst of the two, which is a mamzer. And that's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskes in Simen Dal, Sif Yud Ches, Yisrael, Shanasa Mamzeres. Oh, Mamzer Shanasa Yisraelis. Havlan Mamzer Le'olam. Each generation will subsequently recycle itself. Meaning, if one generation, the one party is a Mamzer and marries a regular Jew, well, the worst of the two will be passed on to the next generation. The next generation will become a Mamzer. And that Mamzer will marry a regular Jew. Well, the child from that union will be like the worst of the two, which will be the Mamzer. So therefore, it's a cycle, a never-ending cycle. Any time there is a mamzer as a parent, that quality of mamzeres will always be passed on to the next generation. Period. That's that sim seif. Now let's jump to the next seif. We are flying, Baruch Hashem. This seif is going to be talking about other people that are not allowed to get married, as we'll see now. It says the Gemara in Kedushin. We mentioned above in the Mishnah that if there is, actually, I'm going to jump down to show you another line of that same Mishnah. That same Mishnah, the line that we had four parts, I told you. The line that we learned together, where you have a case of a mamzer marrying a regular Jewish girl, was what you see on the screen as the second chilek of the Mishnah, when it's a case that there would be chelos kedushin, but there was an iser for them to be together. But let's see. One second, please hold on. Okay, the third case of the Mishnah talks about what happens if the union of two parents is one where there is no Kiddushin. Well, we know what that's going to be. That's going to be that the union had a Chiyuv Kares, so the product of a Chiyuv Kares is going to be a Mamzer. Kol Shmi She'ein La'alav Kiddushin, Avil Yesh La'alachein Kiddushin. Meaning there is a Jew who could marry anyone, but not this woman. Like your brother, your sister, your daughter-in-law. So then, Havlan Mamzer. That's how you create a mamzer, a man who's with an eish esish, a man who's with a sister-in-law, brother-in-law, one of the other arayas, the kid will be a mamzer. Great. With that in mind, how do we know? Gwan Samaches and Beis asks the following. To lo tafsi ba kiddushin, when there's no tfisas kiddushin between the parents, Vlada Kamosa Manalan. One second. Let's say we have a situation where a mamzer marries a guy. A mamzer marries a guy. So does that fit into our category that we had before? You remember we talked before? Right before, we saw talked about a Jew marries a mamzer, or a mamzeres marries a Jew. So that we explained is when there is a kedushin between the parents, but there was an avera, then we follow the pogum among them, and therefore the kid will be a mamzer, just like the father was a mamzer. But what happens when there's no tefisas kedushin between the parents, and one of them is a mamzer? The lo tafsi ba kedushin, meaning, like a guy marries a mamzer, a mamzeres. What about that case? The Mishnah only told us when you have mamzer marries Jew, the kid will be like the worst of the two. What happens when you have a guy marries mamzeres, where there is no kiddushin between them? How do we know that the child should be also like the worst of the two, and therefore be a mamzer? So that's the Gemara's question. Kedushin samaches amad beis delo tafsi ba kedushin vlada kamos amanalan. If there's no tefisas kedushin between the parents, between that union, that prohibited union. So, for example, you have a guy with a mamzeres. How do we know that the child of that guy and mamzeres will be vlada kamosa, will be like the mother, and it'll be a mamzer? Or what about a different case? Let's say you have a non-Jewish woman with a mamzer. A non-Jewish woman with a mamzer. There's no kiddushin because it's a non-Jewish woman. If a mamzer, Jewish mamzer lives with a non-Jewish woman, there's no kiddushin between them. How do we know that this child's status will be like the mother, a non-Jew? Omar Kra, this is where we find matrilineal descent, says the pasuk, Omar Kra, kisiena le'ish, etc., etc., V'yaldu lo, the Torah says. So when there's kisyen al-ish, when you have kiddushin, then they are going to be considered of the child of the husband. V'yaldu lo. However, kol hecha dekrina bekisiana. I'm sorry, this is what the Gemara says. Kol hecha dekrina bekisiana. When you could say about the parents' union that there is a marriage between them, there's havaya, there's marriage between them, then krina beviyaldulo, they would be considered the children of the father. However, concludes the Gemara, kol hecha delo krina bekisiana, wherever you can't say about the parents' union that there's a kiddushin between them, lo krinam beiv yoldu lo, they will not be considered the son, the children of the father. Rather, they will be the children of the mother. And that teaches us that whenever you don't have a marriage between the parents, for example, when there's a Gentile involved in the marriage, in the union, then it will not follow the father, it will always follow the mother. Which means that if the mother was not a Jew, the child will not be a Jew. If the mother was a Jew, and the father's a guy, then the kids will be a Jew, like the mother. Because we only follow the father when there would be marriage between the two parents. When there's no marriage between the two parents, because one of the parties is a guy, then we will not follow the father, rather we'll follow the mother. Two halachas emanate from this Gemara Kedushin. Number one, Ovei Kochavim Ve'eved, Shebo Al, a Jew. Let's talk about a Jew. So if you have a guy or an Eved who marry a Jew, I'm sorry. Ovi kuchom v'eved shebo al mamzeres, a Jewish woman who's a mamzeres, the vlad will be a mamzer because we follow the psul. We'll follow the mamzeres will always stay. V'mbo al bas Yisrael. If an ovi kuchavim or an eved marry a regular Jewish girl, whether the girl is a pnuyo or an eshes ish, havlad kasher. Look at this. What do you have here? You have a guy or an eved. I'm assuming we're talking about an eved kanani here. So an eved kanani doesn't have tvisas kedushin. So if an eved or a guy doesn't have tvisas kedushin, an eved kanani or a guy lives with a Jewish girl, well, the child will be her child. Ben pnuya ben eshes ish, even if it's an eshes ish. Wow, so if an eshes ish lives with a guy, that child will not be a mamzer. Only a Jewish man who's with a married woman will make a mamzer. But if a guy comes on an eshes ish, the vlad will be kosher, just he's pugging from kahuna. Zirmasusim zirmasam, Tosu said. Right. Zirmasusim zirmasam. Although they didn't talk about that in this discussion, that's why I'm not sure. Okay. I want to finish off today with an interesting shaila. And this is a real shaila that could happen nowadays in Eretz Yisrael. It happened to have happened a few hundred years ago. But the shaila could, in unfortunate circumstances, you could imagine, you know, hearing one of these shailas come out of Lev La'achim or Yad La'achim, you know, that rescue women from, Arab relationships. This is the shaila. The shaila was asked to the Besamim Rosh and Simon Hay, Eishas ish sha'azva das. You have a Jewish married woman, and she, you know, goes off the derech. And she leaves, you know, she leaves her husband. She had enough of the religiosity of Judaism, and she goes marries an Arab guy, and builds a family with this Arab guy. V'hayu lo banim. V'achar kach chazra l'das Yisrael, ma'u din habanim. And now she, you know, she's living with the Arab. She has a few kids, and then they try to, they start treating her like, you know, they might treat their women in general, and she realizes it's not good for a nice Jewish girl to be married to an Arab, and she wants to come back home. So the Yad La'achim is contacted, they swoop down, and they rescue her from the Arab village in the middle of the night, and she comes back with her kids to Yerushalayim. So now you have a whole bunch of kids who are the product of this Arab father and Jewish mother, this Jewish mother who's really an Eishes Ish from her first husband, but the father is a Gentile. So let's think for a second. If we know the Arab was the father, then that's the case of the Shulchan Aruch. The case of the Shulchan Aruch was that if a guy comes on a Bas Yisrael, even if she's an Eishes Ish, the Vlad is kosher. Remember, the Vlad is not, even though she's an Eishes Ish, you're only going to have a Mamzer if you have an Eishes Ish having a child with another Jew. But if you have an Eishes Ish who has a child with a guy, the kid will not be a Mamzer. The kid is kosher. Okay, so here, if you have this woman was living in this Arab village and father and she had children with this Arab guy, the kids will be ksherim. They have a Jewish mother, a Geisha father, no problem. But maybe the question was, we should be concerned that since she went off the derech and she was living a very, you know, a non-Jewish life, maybe she happened to spend some time with a Jewish guy also. After all, she's not such a moral woman. So she spent some time with a Jewish guy. Maybe we should be worried that she was mezana with a Jewish guy along the way. And if she was mezana with a Jewish guy along the way, so she's an Eishes Ish because she's really married to her first husband, and now she's mezana, potentially, maybe we have to be worried. Maybe we should be concerned that since she has this type of personality and this type of moral compass, or lack of moral compass, maybe we have to be concerned that she met up with a Jewish guy and therefore the kids are mamzerim. Do we have to be worried about that? So Bessam and Roshka is a fascinating svara to say, well, you don't have to be worried that she got involved with a Jewish guy. You know why? Because even if she is not trustworthy, and she is not loyal, and she is a lowly individual, and she doesn't have a moral compass, but why would you assume that a Jewish boy would be with her? If she's huchzik to be a mezana, and a mufkeres, kol Yisrael lehuchziku, why should you assume that a Jewish boy would do anything wrong with her? Fascinating. What happens if there's a whole population of Jewish boys who aren't religious? So Jewish boys who aren't religious, they also would equally, you know, just like she didn't care who she's with, maybe there's a whole population of Jewish boys who are not religious who wouldn't care either. Vafil yesh kan Yisraelim chashudim ozen das hochel mebesa, even though there's a whole bunch of Jewish boys, you know, who are, you know, walking to her house with not wearing their yarmulkes and not, you know, going in and out of her house. Then she has a whole chevra of non-religious guys going in and out of her house. But remember, she's in this Arab husband's house, right? Mikomakom baila mishamra. And if you have the rule of baila mishamra, if you have a woman who's married even to an Arab man, rov be'ilos achar habal. Wow. The Bessam and Rosh just said a bomb. The Bessam and Rosh just said that when we have a question of who this woman is with, even if she's with a Gentile husband, an Arab husband, we'll still apply the rule of Rov Be'ilos Achar HaBaal and assume that any child that she had while she's in this marriage, I don't want to call it a marriage because there's no Tfisas Kiddush, in this pseudo-marriage with this non-Jewish man, we could assume that the majority of the beers were with the husband, if there were other people around. And as he repeats, Ish hadar im ishto bekvius echad nachri ve'echad Yisrael. We will assume that he is the father of those children. Now, it's fascinating, because I might have thought that this svara, hold on 1 second, I might have thought that this svara of Rov Bilas Achar HaBaal is only by a Jewish husband, who is more makpid, or I don't know what. Here, the Bessam Rosh is setting down a tremendous kula, that the din of Rov Bilas Achar HaBaal will mean that you have the right, even if a woman is connected with a non-Jewish man and living in the house as a married woman to a non-Jewish man, again, no kiddushin because he's a non-Jew. But you could assume that Rov Bilas was with the, it's a social chazaka. It's not a halachic chazaka, it's a social chazaka. Rov Bilas are always with the man of the house. Even if she has extramarital affairs, even if she's not a mufkeres, but Rov Bilas are with the men of the house, whether he's Jewish, not Jewish, that's just the metzias of how people interact with another. And therefore we could assume that the father of any children that she will bear is probably this Arab husband, not really a husband, but this Arab man who she calls her husband. And therefore, since she's an Eishes Ish, but the father of her children is a guy, the children are not mamzerim. We don't have to be worried. Yeah, the Bessam Rosh is subject to controversy. Yes. Yes. I don't know. I'm scared to say that. You're making a good point that the Besamim Rosh is subject to great debate among the scholars if it's a forgery or not. But I will show you in the next tshuva, Chem de Shlomo, I'm not sure who the Chem de Shlomo was, but a later tshuva who uses the svaras and analyzes and sort of is menape the svaras of the Besamim Rosh, as we'll see in the next shaila. And this we'll finish. Right. So we have a similar question, and with this we'll finish. It's a shaila of the Chem de Shlomo, who has asked a similar question. Let's look at this question. This is a little bit more of a racy. This is even more racy. It's a long question. So let's just read the question together. I am a Shuvah Chem de Shlomo Sheila Keinzeh, but Ma'isa Bedinas Yishma, wherever it is, some Arab country. Beisha Achas Sheoza Baila Aguna Yosem Yarbaim Shana. It's a little weird. Let's say she got married when she was 15, and she left her husband when she was 16, and she's living with somebody else for the 40 years. No, I'm sorry. She just left Judaism and left her Jewish husband and was Nisarva ben Hayishma'elim. And she was absolutely no way connected to Jewish Yiddishkeit at all. V'lo hisnahaga das Yehudis klal. But she didn't convert to Islam. She was living among the people, and she had no shaykh. She didn't come for Kol Nidre, she didn't come for Ni'ila, but I mean, Kol Kol Lo Hayah Balach Luach Yehudis Klal. She had no Jewish moisture at all. There's nothing Jewish about her. Not even a drip of Jewishness, as we would say. But she didn't convert to Islam. V'achar kach yol debas, and lo and behold, she becomes pregnant. V'chzika osa ben hiyashmeilim, and she raised this kid as a Muslim girl. V'habas liyada me'eze amhi. The girl didn't know that her mother's Jewish. Achakodem mos hamufkeres, as this mother was on her deathbed, she calls in her daughter, living in some Muslim town, and says, "I have news for you. Hodi lebita shehi Yehudis. I'm Jewish, and not only that, but I want you to go become Jewish. Etziv saleh shetamod b'din Yisrael. I want you to go join a Jewish community." The girl hears from her mother on her mother's deathbed that she's really Jewish. So what does she do? The girl listens to her mother. She goes to the Beis Din, goes to the Jewish community. Now, that's the girl. What about, what are people saying about the mother? Vihine, it's incredible, Shaila. Kala d'lo pasuk, there's a well-established rumor, Shabbas hazos hime aravi yodua. It's well known that the mother was hanging out with a certain very well-known Arab in the neighborhood. V'gam idim. So if that would be the case, if we stop there, then the kid would be okay. Jewish mother, non-Jewish father, and the kid is okay, part of a non-Jewish father, so the kid's a Jew, not a Mazur, nothing at all. But there's more to the story. Vigami, then people also testify. Shekodushes Abraham of Keres and Habas Hazos. Before she was, with this guy, and had this child, she was also well known. Zansa bechvar echad, kam itim imam aravi achad. She was also involved with another Arab, in another town, but in that town. Also kvar ein yehuda bekvias. There were no Jews living in that other town. But there were merchants, Jewish merchants, going back and forth. Rak sochrim habayim sham, gamber kretshmi dar Yehudi echad. What's a kretshmi? Is that a motel, or is that a town? Is that a marketplace? I don't know, the word kretshmi, I think it's like a European, like a word from the European achronim. Tavern, a Jew who lived in the tavern. Okay, so that's, we get, it's, complicated mother. The mother was a very complicated woman. But presumably this girl is probably from this Arab man. Ma mishpat habas hazos. What's the shayla? Im nachush shemanis abra imam Yisrael. Should we be concerned with the possibility that maybe a Jew was her father? V'avta havei rov ksherim etzla. Even though most of the men that she was around were Arabs, ksherim in the sense of, that wouldn't make a mamzer. Because remember, this woman was married when she was 15 to a nice Jewish boy. She went off the derech and then she moved into the Islam land for 40 years. So she is really a married woman. She's an Eishes Ish. So if she's going to be with a Jewish man, the kid will be a mamzer. If she'll be with a guy, the kid will be fine. So most of the people around her were goyim, so she should be, the kid should be okay. But on the other hand, and this is a topic that we never really got into, mikom akom, if we want to establish the status of this child, we have a rule. Mikom akom l'yuchsin ha'be'inan shreirubei. There are sugyas that indicate that when it comes to establishing the status of an individual, it's not enough to have one rov, like rov bilasachar bal, you have to have two rovs to establish somebody l'yuchsin. Complicated shaila, as you can see. Basically, it boils down to, do we have to be worried that this Eishes Ish, who's living among Arabs, was ever possibly with a Jew? And do we have a double rove that could ascertain that to us? So he quotes here, now Yossi, this is relating to you, and he quoted the tshuva of the Bessam Rosh, and he says that, you remember the Bessam Rosh told us the svara of Baila Mishamra, Rov Bilo Sachra Baal? Says this new tshuva, this Chem de Shlomo? Says this Chem de Shlomo, we don't even really need that svara to say that, oh, she was living with an Arab man, so Rov Bilo Sachra with her new husband, the Arab man. You only have to say that. You only have to rely on that kind of svara. Rak heichad yadua shechashudim v'ozim das holchem l'toch beisa. You only have to come on to that svara when you know that there are non-religious Jews coming inside. Then you have to determine who were the most bias with, were the most of the bias with this husband, the Arab husband, or these other Jewish guys coming in that maybe might have fathered the girl. But if you have no reason to assume that she was ever with a Jewish guy, why should you assume that there's a possibility that she was with a Jewish guy? Like, where are you coming from? She was living with an Arab man. She lived in an Arab village. Just because there happened to be some Jews in the village, that makes you have to be choshed that maybe there was a Jew that she was with that Jew? Even though you don't have the svara of the Bissam and Rosh, of Rav Bila Sachar Baal, that only works when she's actually married to a man, whether Jewish or not Jewish. Then you could say that Rov Bias that happened in the, you know, to this woman will be with her lawfully wedded husband of either religion. But if she's just living with a guy, we won't apply the din of Rov Bias Sachar Baal. Fine. And therefore, Siyuma de Paska, he paskins, halach lemaisa, that the daughter of this very colorful mother is indeed Muteres Lava Bakal. And apparently, the Gadol Hador, the Posik Hador, was none other than Nesivis, Chuvas Hagon Milisa. The Gaon Milisa is the Nesivis. He was the Posik Hador in the time period of the Ketzos. Even though Ketzos became more famous than the Nesivis was the Gadol Hador in Psak, greater than the Ketzos as far as Psak, even though we learned the Ketzos more. Agreed, and it's Pashut V'Einsa that this daughter could definitely become a marry into the Jew, and Mikolshken Kanti Himigores bin Haraviyam, Rav Yisrael Enum Prutzen Barayas. She's living among Arabs, and if you're living among Arabs, it's the Arabs that are probably going to be the Prutzim, and Rav Yisrael, not Prutzen Barayas. And we never heard, he says, we'll finish with this interesting svar. Ktsas Rayagam, the low Ashkam, B'shum Makom, the Benozev is Das. Did we ever hear that if somebody, a mother, goes off the derech, and she's all over the world, and she, who knows what, and then the kid comes back to Judaism, we never heard that that kid should be concerned with to be a mamzer. We're not worried that maybe the mother was with, you know, had this child having been married to a man, but a Jewish man, but, you know, that was probably with another Jewish man that was the and had the product, this child here in front of us. We're never worried about such a thing. And therefore, if she was among Goyim, we could assume that she was with Goyim. If she was among Arabs, we could assume that she was with Arabs. And therefore, you could assume that the father of this child is an Arab. And therefore, this child is not going to be a mamzer, because it's only a mamzer if you have a married woman with another Jewish man, not with a non-Jewish man. So as funny as it sounds, you know, if you're an Eishes Ish and you have to choose to be mezana with somebody and have a kid with, not that a person should ever make this choice, but it will end up being beneficial if you're mezana with a guy, you know, possibly using Zir Masus and Zir Masam or not, but then the kid won't be a mamzer. Because if you're mezana with a fellow Jew, then the kid's going to be a mamzer. So Either way, HaKadosh Baruch should protect us from all the situations that Golas have thrown our way, and we should be zocha to Gemar Chasima Tovah.